listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, it was nice to have the selection show back on our televisions yesterday. What does it all mean when in terms of the tournament? Let's get Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Patrick?
I'm well, and you?
Good. All right. I'll preface this by saying I'm not a huge gripe guy. I just think there's a lot of teams in this field. Maybe you have a little bit of an argument. But that being said, were there any teams that should have been in this thing that weren't in this thing?
Not really. I mean, I think, like you say, there's a handful of teams you can sit there and say, how much daylight was there between, say, Syracuse and Louisville, UCLA and Louisville? You can sit there and argue that Colorado State had a good season. But really, like, I mean, all those teams, really, not just in that were left out, but the first four to six or seven teams that are inside the field all have some obvious flaws. So I don't think anybody has real serious complaints at this point. They can certainly wish that they were in. And if you're Louisville right now, I mean, you're in a situation where you could ultimately be in if there's a positive test that pops up from one of the teams, one of the 68 teams that are in Indianapolis now.
So with that being said, most people had the four teams as number one seeds and had them pretty much locked in for a couple of, you know, maybe a week or so, 2 weeks. But overall, the seeding of, let's say, the top four in every region, did that go to your, in your mind, according to plan? Was there any surprises there?
You know, I thought overall with seeding, I had the committee pegged pretty well. There were only a handful of teams I was surprised by in the entire bracket. I will say the one combination that was a little surprising to me was Oklahoma State as a four and West Virginia as a three. I thought Oklahoma State's overall body of work with 10 quadrant one victories was a little bit better. And not that head to head means only one, only you know, means everything. But Oklahoma State just took two from West Virginia in the last week or so, ended the regular season with a victory, and then beat them again in the Big 12 tournament. So I kind of thought Oklahoma State in totality probably deserved that three seed over West Virginia, but the committee clearly disagreed.
We always look at different ways these brackets formulate the potential matchups, who could be a Sweet 16 matchup or whatnot. The fact that Gonzaga has three teams that are in that they beat already during the regular season, is that a coincidence, or do you think there's an element of something to that? Is that a legitimate complaint by people who are saying this looks like an easy path for the Zags?
Well, for the situation with Iowa, if you assume Gonzaga was the top number one seed, right? Then you basically, with two Big Ten teams on the one line and two Big Ten teams on the two line, they were going to get the weakest of the two Big Ten teams as the two seed in their bracket. So the Iowa thing is just simply bracket mechanics at work. With Kansas and Virginia, I would assume that's just simply coincidence and how the bracket ultimately fell. You know, I think about the fact that Iowa put up 88 on Gonzaga and is playing a little bit better defense. And I wonder if a team getting a second crack at Gonzaga actually makes it more likely to see a surprise, just because, you know, they have an idea what's coming. Not that that's done anybody in the West Coast Conference any good this season, but you have a better idea of what you're dealing with. I still think Gonzaga is a team that is going to go and it's going to score, and your job is to go do what BYU did for a half and figure out how to score just as well, if not better, as it did in the West Coast Conference Final. But I actually think the familiarity might tend to help a team, particularly whoever comes out of that Iowa-Kansas combination. Kansas has been playing pretty well, assuming that they get to play. And Iowa, I think, has been playing somewhat better defense, certainly better than what it was playing earlier in the season.
Patrick, the Michigan State-UCLA first four matchup, that's kind of an exciting matchup for the audience, but do those two teams deserve to be in that location in that moment?
UCLA absolutely does. UCLA lost, I think, its last four, but more importantly, when you look over its total body of work, it beat Colorado at home, and it swept Arizona, which probably would have been a borderline tournament team had it been eligible. I think UCLA played its way down to that spot. Michigan State, on the one hand, you look at those late victories. They beat Illinois, they beat Ohio State. They beat Michigan. That's a set of three victories that few teams have. At the same time, if you go back to February 2nd, Michigan State's just lost to Iowa, and they're 8-7, and it sure seems like they're going to miss the tournament. So if you had offered them that deal back then, they probably would have happily signed up for it. Now, the interesting thing about that matchup is you could have easily paired Michigan State and Drake or Michigan State and Wichita State, and instead you get this pairing. And in fact, I believe the way it worked out was that Wichita State and Drake were the two weaker teams on the seed line. So clearly, I think it's fair to say the committee preferred to have kind of a brand name matchup there in that game rather than pairing a power conference team with a team in a mid-major league or a team in a near high major league, because that very easily could have happened as well.
Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, joins us. A couple of individual teams, what they're looking like coming into the tournament. Michigan, Isaiah Livers is out. They are a one seed. They've got Alabama in their region. And how, on a level of importance, what kind of blow is that to the Wolverines?
That's pretty significant. Veteran forward does a lot of things for them. And when you look at Michigan, they were rolling along really nicely heading into March, and they've lost three games since the beginning of the month. So Michigan, in some ways, a little bit like Baylor, probably not playing at their peak, at least for what it's been this season. You look in their sub-regional, you know, LSU's really athletic. St. Bonaventure's is one of the best coach teams in the field. And then you look at Florida State, which just can go on and on and on with its roster. I mean, it feels like they've got 30 guys that they play. It's really only about 11 or 12. So that's, I think, a really tough half of that bracket for Michigan to have to deal with. And then you look at the bottom, like you say, Alabama's down there, Connecticut with James Booknight, and Texas, which just won its first Big 12 tournament, all very capable teams that could stand in the way of Michigan making a Final Four.
One team in the Midwest that has me concerned, and 2 weeks ago I loved them, and that's West Virginia. I could see them in a second-round matchup losing to San Diego State or Syracuse if they get by Morehead State. They don't seem to be playing particularly well right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that when you look at them, I think their best basketball came earlier in the season as well. And like you say, you know, San Diego State is a team. San Diego State and West Virginia play. That's a game that has the potential to be played in the mid 50s. Ultimately,
yeah, absolutely.
And you look at Syracuse. You think of two of their more recent appearances in the tournament. They were in the first four back in 2018 and wound up ripping off three consecutive wins to make the Sweet 16. And then the last time that they barely avoided going to the first four was back in 2016, and they made the Final Four that year with a little bit of an assist from Middle Tennessee when they knocked off Michigan State in the 2-15 in that regional.
Overall, I mean, in terms of this way this tournament is going to be in Indianapolis, it seems cool because it's new, but do you see any problems with this? Do you see any sort of logistics that could be an issue as we go along?
I'm sure something will pop up, but you can all flip the question around and say, well, what other choice do they really have?
Sure, absolutely.
Than to try to do this. So clearly, let's face it, this entire season was played so that everybody could collect their television money, and no television money is more important than the money that the NCAA is getting from CBS for this tournament. So they need to figure out some sort of way to get this done, and doing it all essentially in one geographic area is how they're going to have to do it. So, you know, I'm sure there will be some things that are annoying and different and are one-time-only things, but it's just something everybody has to deal with this year.
Do you like teams? I mean, we get a timeout between the conference tournaments and when this will start, and it's going to be about a week, a little less than a week. Do you still like hot teams, a team like Georgetown, a team even like LSU that played pretty well in the SEC tournament, someone that's kind of on a little bit of a run, on a little bit of a streak, or does that die down enough when we get to the tournament?
We could find different scenarios to back either of those things up. Like I could name you the 2011 Connecticut team that won five games in 5 days in the Big East tournament, and then Kemba Walker carried them to a national title. And I can think of, you know, there was a Seton Hall team that was like a 5 or 6 seed in the Big East tournament, you know, maybe 5 years or so ago that won it and then immediately, you know, lost a 6-11 game as the sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. So I think it depends on the team. I think if you're talking about Georgetown specifically, they played fantastic, winning four games in 4 days. It's their first four-game winning streak of the season. It's the first time they beat four Big East teams in a row since 2015. But they were 10-13 going into that. They had been playing better. So I can see them being a pain for maybe a round, maybe two. But I don't necessarily think this is like the beginning of a Final Four run for the Hoyas.
And one final thought is, because of what happened in the conference tournaments with Virginia, Kansas, what's the protocol? How does Tony Bennett's Cavalier squad get into this thing? What do they have to go through to be cleared to go to Indy?
It is seven consecutive days of negative tests that they need to be able to produce leading into their first game. You know, they play on Saturday, and that's something else that's kind of interesting too. You mentioned the whole, you know, Gonzaga playing these familiar teams. Well, both Virginia and Kansas are playing in the Saturday-Monday games and not the Friday-Sunday games. So that's an extra day for them to be able to produce those results. So basically, if a team before the end of the day Tuesday says, hey, we've got positive tests, we can't get in, then they have a replacement. They have the replacement teams on hand, Louisville, Colorado State, St. Louis, and Mississippi. If it happens after Tuesday, it's simply going to be a situation where a team gets to move on around, like we saw in the Big 12 and ACC tournaments this past week.
That's interesting. So such a new world. Patrick, thank you so much for your time, and hope to catch up with you again soon. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care.
You got it. Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right. So that being said, what is the likelihood of this happening, and what will we think if it does, or a team just gets to move along in the tournament? That's coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.